I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is the story behind the story, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. This is Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinking. And I'm going to call on a little bit of that today. I am the bubble buster. I am that guy. I'm the contrarian out there on so many different issues. I am somebody who thinks we should return to the Constitution. Most people believe that as well, except when it's inconvenient. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today as well, as I espouse what is probably going to be another unpopular opinion. So you can decide for yourself whether you can handle an alternative opinion. Many people run away from it. You know, when you're on radio, I don't know if this is just me or if all radio show hosts do this. You get a mental image of the reaction of things that you're going to say, particularly if they're controversial, if they go against the grain, if you're promoting some different idea or new idea or presenting something. This was very evident when I did the segments on should we have taken a dive on Cindy Hyde-Smith and tried again in 2020 to get a more conservative, not establishment candidate. And it was not a popular opinion whatsoever. It was not a popular opinion. But at least people kind of engaged in it. So I imagined. And what happened was the response was a little surprising to me in that everybody said, I got emails, I got phone calls saying, I can't believe you're telling people to vote for SB. And that's that mental leap that people made. I never said any such thing. I just said, what if the Republicans stayed home to send the establishment a message? We're not just accepting another one of your cookie-cutter candidates. But people just took that leap and painted this idea that I was saying go out and vote for the Democrat, which was never uttered because people are very black and white in their thinking. They don't think in shades of gray. They don't think in nuanced stuff. It's one or the other. You don't have to vote. As of right now, we still do have the freedom to stay home, and they're is just as much patriotism and not picking somebody who is going to go do things that are damaging to our country as there is voting for somebody that you think might help. Both things are equally patriotic, and that's why voting, at least up until now, is voluntary. So we're going to talk today in just a little bit about the Roger Wicker vote. I'm sure a lot of Mississippians have some thoughts on that, and I can imagine which way that public opinion is tilting. I'll do open lines. I talked some yesterday before Ron Morris from the Mississippi Libertarian Party came in about this Twitter war, this feud between Ann Coulter and Donald Trump, and we're going to talk about just a little bit about that today because I'm interested to know where people's mindset is. A couple of things have come out Trump-related that I wanted to discuss. You know, if nothing substantial is done on the border by 2020, would that affect your vote or your enthusiasm for Donald Trump? We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But I've developed this. It's kind of come up unconsciously, but I've noticed that I do this. When I'm putting together my show and my show notes, as soon as I see some article about massive deficits, about the nefarious nature of our federal elected officials, I just bump it straight up to the beginning of the show. Today is no different. I also will next hour get to False Flag Friday because it's almost the end of the Syrian war. Do you know where your CIA is? I bet you don't. I'm going to tell you about that beginning of next hour. And we'll do, the left-wing loony week in in politics, too, there's a few funny things. Beto O'Rourke, what a empty suit. We'll talk about him, too. We'll have a few laughs at the end of the show about the week that the left just experienced again. But here's my opening story, as I always put these up leads to try to at least this sets up my show. This show is about, I don't know if it's about, you know, revolution or restoration or whatever it is, but it's a show about just pointing out exactly how bad the people that we worship are. Now, I don't worship them. I left that, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago now when I was in my 30s, but I know plenty of people that just can't wait to see a politician, love to be connected, love to be part of the tribe. So I always do a little bit of deprogramming beginning of the show. Study found that while the average American's net worth increased 3.7% per year between 2004-2012, members of Congress averaged 15.4% annual gains. And did you know the taxpayer also foots the bill for insane retirement benefits for Congress? Each retired member can start collecting a pension at age 62 if they've spent just 5 years in Congress, and they'll collect 80% of their $174,000 salary. That's almost $140,000 a year for the rest of their lives for 5 years of service. Meanwhile, 40% of Americans can't cover an unexpected $400 emergency expense. 57% of Americans have less than $1,000 in savings. And a third of baby boomers, the generation currently retiring, have nothing, nothing put away for retirement. So while Congress's pension is secured by your tax dollars, only 13% of regular Americans have pensions today. And even if you were promised one, collecting it is another story. If you've heard this show or paid attention at all, that's not widely reported, but I pay attention to a lot of financial news. I can't remember what the statistic is right now for unfunded pensions, public and private, around the country. It's trillions of dollars. They're short in their funding. Should we have another stock market swoon, that number will get even worse. We've got trillions of dollars of unfunded pensions right now, and this is after a record bull run in the stock market. This is setting up to not be a good thing. But anyway, just wanted to let you know that while the average American is struggling to cover a $400 emergency, baby boomers are retiring without a nickel in the bank. I just wanted to let you know that the royalty, our overlords, those men and women that you love to stand in line for their rallies and you love to take a selfie with them at the Rotary Club meeting, or if they come by to speak to your church, they're doing just fine. I think that should make us all happy on a Friday to know no matter what happens to you and me, they'll be just fine. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
All right, we're back. Phone number here is, as always, 601-879-0002. You want to weigh in on this? I'm sure people want to sound off on Roger Wicker. I'm curious about many things about the border fight. Many of them I'm already on the record with, which is, why wasn't this done when Republicans held control of both houses of Congress during the 2 years? I've heard just the theory that Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, you know, lied to Donald Trump. Ann Coulter has lost faith. I talked about that a little bit yesterday, and I want to go through a couple of other things today on these things. I have a different opinion of the Wicker vote. Anybody who's listened to this show for any period of time knows I am no Roger Wicker fan whatsoever, James Tulp, this morning. I haven't independently verified this, so I'll take my facts from James. He's very well researched, so I assume he's correct. That, you know, I think one of the bigger concerns is that when Roger Wicker got into Congress, the debt was at $9 trillion. It's now at $22 trillion, and it's actually picking up speed. So there's a whole host of reasons to be mad at Roger Wicker. I don't know if this is the main one, although I know it will be the one that stokes the most anger. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Hey, Mike, this is Nielsen.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Hey, first off, Roger Wicker is a loser and should be voted out as soon as humanly possible. Second off, and not necessarily for this vote, but just showing that these scumbags in the Republican Party love to go against each other, while even though you can say there's a bunch of evil people in the Democratic Party, they never vote against each other. So you could say which is the weaker party, the one that can't stand up for its leader, or the one that always sticks together, no matter if they want like kids to be killed after they're born. They always stand up for each other. They never back down. If someone gets accused of something, they all apologize for them. So you could tell me which one's a week apart. But what I wanted to say was, how could they set you up for a better false flag Friday than today?
Oh, I'm
telling you, this guy from Australia goes to New Zealand, kills people, says he was turned to a racist by Candace Owens, and then he loves Donald Trump, and he wants to kill all Muslims. Can you think, and this is the thing about these false flags, is they become more ridiculous. That's why the Jussie Smollett stuff was so easy to point out. It was like, really? Some dude at 2 o'clock in the morning at 20 below zero in Chicago said this is MAGA country and
right.
Put a noose around your neck. It's ridiculous.
Well, they don't give us any credit for having any intelligence, but, I mean, you know, that's across the board. They've gotten away with it so long. I think they've just gotten lazy because they realize the American people are so stupid or asleep or whatever it is. They do the same thing over and over again. As I say, I just wish they'd have a little creativity in it and try to do something at least unique, but they just phone them in now.
It's really convenient, okay? You have two different false flags, Mike, from how I see it now, right? You have the quote-unquote chemical attack that never even actually happened, but they just make some videos and put them on YouTube, and
right.
Then all of a sudden we have to send $500 million worth of missiles over to Syria.
Right.
And then you have the other false flag attack, which is like, I either got attacked by someone who likes Donald Trump, or I kill people because I like Donald Trump. Is this not ridiculous? Can people not see through this propaganda? I mean, I don't even know. I mean, I feel sorry for anyone who died in this attack, but it seems like something the CIA set up to me.
Yeah.
Through Australia, because you know we had the old Alexander Downer and all the Russia collusion stuff's going away. So what do they got to do? They got to kill a bunch of people. That's what they got to do.
I hadn't
get our minds off of it, man. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm ranting and wasting your time.
No. That's good. I want to ask you something though, because there's a couple of points I wanted to bring up when you went back. I wanted this Roger Wicker stuff. Number one, here is what we're going to be hearing, and you said it, and it's in everybody's mind right now. The guy needs to go. We're not going to reelect him. I heard a caller earlier today saying that they've contacted Wicker's office and they're upset with him and they're not going to vote for him again, you know, this kind of thing. Let me make a prediction right here. Yes, you will vote for him again.
Look, man, I'm sorry. After the whole Sandy Hyde Smith thing, I have no faith in Mississippi voters.
Absolutely,
I mean,
exactly.
I'm lost it. I'm done with it.
Exactly.
I want to try to help campaigns out. I do work for the Democratic Party, but I mean, I try to even help them, and they won't listen to me. You know what I'm saying? So I have no faith in the voters in Mississippi anymore.
Yeah. Well, they haven't really deserved it. Thanks for the call, Nielsen. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Here's the thing. You're in a trap. I have told you. You've got battered voters syndrome. You're in an unhealthy relationship with a political party. I don't care if you're on the right or the left, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. You're all in an abusive relationship. I left that relationship. It's why I get to comment on it in the way I do, because I don't have to carry water for anybody. Now, look, Wicker let you down, and you're mad at him today. And you may remember this one. This is kind of a big vote. He voted against the emergency order, and you may really stick this in your craw. And goodness knows when the campaign comes up in another 5 years, you may or may not remember it. It may be made an issue. But let's be honest with each other. Come on, let's not be delusional. We're supposed to be the smart adults in the room. If he's got an R behind his name, you will vote for that R. Well, at least he fill in the blank. I know he was bad on this, but at least he fill in the blank. At least he's not want to fill in the blank. They've got you right where they want you. It's why I told you to break apart the establishment game with Cindy Hyde-Smith and just take a dive, let the establishment know they're on notice, give us a good candidate, or we're staying home. But we didn't do that because, oh my gosh, Mike Espy, a freshman senator, might have gotten in there. I'm not trying to rehash all these things, but it's almost laughable to me in our patheticness that what will happen when election time comes is they will scare you and everybody will think the same things we think every time. And there's some validity to it. We have to have a Republican senator. If we don't vote for Wicker, you will say this in 2024. You will say, we can't have them appointing Supreme Court justices. And there's some truth to that. Ultimately, we always blink. We blinked on Chris McDaniel and gave the nomination to Cindy Hyde-Smith. And then when Cindy Hyde-Smith came in and everybody was bad-mouthing her, saying she's an establishment pick, she used to be a Democrat, nobody's happy with her, but then we blink again and we send her right up there, where she will remain for 30 years. As I've told you, take heart. You'll have another bite at the apple in about 30 years. So maybe that'll make you feel good at night. Establishment always wins. Can we at least admit that to ourselves? Can we stop with the delusion? Yeah, we're going to get rid of him. Right. That's not what we do here. We take it. And they know that. And that's why they can do whatever they want to. But I'm also going to say something else about this particular vote that's not going to be popular, so go to your safe space. We're alone here. As I always say, it's just you and me. You're in your car. You're in your headset. Whatever. It's just the two of us. We don't have to do this as a committee. You can think for yourself for right now. And then when you go out tonight, you can get right back into groupthink and everybody can spout out any talking points that you want to talk about. But look, this is not Roger Wicker's worst vote. Obviously, Trump was going to be blocked either way. And the effect is just going to be a veto. It's going to go to the courts. That was going to be its thing. I'll also say, electing Cindy Hyde-Smith didn't really have an effect on this, did it? Can somebody tell me where electing Cindy Hyde-Smith has had some profound effect on our country? We sold our soul for another establishment Republican for 30 years in office. And to my knowledge, I mean, maybe I'm missing something. Can you tell me where she's tipped the scales? Where she has been? I mean, if Espy was in right now, wouldn't we have essentially the exact same result? Maybe one more vote one way or the other, but she hasn't tipped the scales anywhere. I mean, I might be missing something legitimately. If I am, you can let me know. But I am not a fan of the emergency order myself. First point I would make is, why didn't they do this when they had 2 years? Everybody blames Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell. There's always an excuse. So now they want to do it. So now they want to do an emergency order. I am telling you, I understand not doing these kinds of things and setting these kinds of precedents, whether you like it or not. Look, we're supposed to be conservatives. We're supposed to be for small, limited government. Supposed to be for checks and balances, a fair judiciary and all that stuff. But we're not. Again, this is just a little time to take for all of us. Can we just start being honest with ourselves? Number one, we're captured by the establishment Republican Party because we're so scared of the alternative that they can have our way with us and we'll still do what they want. So let's just admit that to ourselves. It's freeing. We don't have to keep playing this game where we act like we're independent thinking people and, by gosh, we're going to demand better of our people and we're not sending the bums back and throw the bums out. Can we quit with all that language and move on to something more productive? Because it's obviously we don't mean it. Now, when the emergency order goes on, I don't understand, and I honestly don't understand this stuff, but you know, if there is what is considered some level of invasion across the country, what do you think Trump says? Hey, we're bringing some troops home from overseas adventures that have cost us trillions of dollars and accomplished nothing, and we're putting them on the border. I mean, are there not other ways to do this? The emergency order, if you do not think for a second that the Democrats are licking their lips on an emergency order for climate change, you are delusional. Now, what people say is, I already hear, see, again, as I started this show off today, I always try to kind of imagine the reaction. And I get it from a lot of interactions with the public, either through interactions with listeners or reading comment sections or just friends and family when we have these kinds of discussions. Mike, the Democrats are going to do it anyway. It doesn't matter if this emergency order, you know, the Democrats are going to use it for climate change anyway. They always do go to those extremes. Okay, well, let's just apply that to our lives. Have you got a jackass in your life and you know that's going to behave poorly? Well, just behave poorly before him. He was going to do it anyway. I mean, I think there's something to be said for the moral high ground. I think there's something to be said for doing the right thing. And I'm not a fan of a king in office, not whether it's Obama or Bush or Clinton or Bush or Trump. I don't like kings. I don't like them. Now, I know they've backed him into a corner. What else is he going to do, Mike? I honestly don't know. But I say he had a better chance to do it over the last 2 years than he has right now. And yet nothing was done. I don't understand how we can spend $750 billion, $750 billion in so-called defense spending, but none of that defense includes our own borders. It's more important to us to have 400 people stationed in Syria, to have 38,000 troops stationed in South Korea, to have 1,000 military bases across planet Earth, and to be threatening Venezuela than it is to guard our own borders. We've got $750 billion a year to just play around with. Seems to me that's where your money is. Seems to me that's the department that should be handling this. That should be the tact that Donald Trump takes if he believes this is an emergency. And I ask you this as well. Another question. If this is this emergency, if you want to go to the mat on this thing, and look, I'm not trying to take up for Roger Wicker. If you've listened to this show, don't think you came somewhere to listen to a Wicker fan. I'm just saying this ain't the worst thing he's done. And I might have voted with him, to be honest with you, because I don't like kings. I don't like precedents that give the federal government, and particularly one person in the federal government, even more power. We got to get it done, though, Mike. This is an emergency. Okay, if it's an emergency, handle it some other way. But let me ask you this. If it's this big emergency, if it is an existential threat to the United States, which it very well could be, I'm not arguing that point, why is it an emergency order for $8 billion? Out of what is probably conservatively a $75 billion project, you're getting 10% of the money. If this is a national emergency, why isn't the national emergency for $20 billion, $50 billion? Why did the military just get a $34 billion budget increase? And this is eight. I mean, it feels like if you're going to go to the mat and go with the emergency order, build the damn wall. Not sections here, not sections there, not 74 miles. I mean, go. Get her done. The whole thing. This isn't Wicker's worst vote. There's 1,000 reasons to be mad at Roger Wicker that nobody will pay attention to. They'll latch on to this one. And I'm telling you right now, this idea that the conservatives are especially disappointing to me in their lack of ideological consistency. It is this, we want a small limited government except when we want something done, and then we'll give the federal government or one person or whoever as much power as we can to get what we want. And then the power shifts and we spend 4 years, 8 years sitting back whining. How dare they do this? I can't believe how they're just making, you know, he just signed Obamacare into, you know what I mean? These kinds of things. It was Obama mandate. He just, Obama. And then our guy gets power and we're like, oh, more power, more power. Come on, give him more power. And then you're shocked when they turn it against you. Well, Mike, they're going to turn it against us anyway. They always do that. They play dirty. That's right. Yes, I don't necessarily have an argument with you. But good Lord, is that how we run our society? You think that ends well? We're going to do the wrong thing because we know they're going to do the wrong thing. Then they're going to do the wrong thing. And then to retaliate, we're going to do the wrong thing. And then because we know they're going to do the wrong thing. So when they do the wrong thing, we're just going to do wronger things. The Constitution's, you're kind of either with it or against it at this point. And most people are with it until it's inconvenient for them, until they see somebody with a bag of marijuana. And suddenly that Constitution needs to be thrown out. That person doesn't have a right to do that because I object to it. Bring the full weight of the federal government down on that person over there that's got a bag of marijuana. Put them in a cage. Deprive them of their freedom because they are engaging in an activity that I do not approve of. And I want to spend $1 billion, you know, $1 trillion fighting a war against these people who are doing things that I do not approve of. But I'm a conservative. I'm a small, limited government constitutional conservative. But did you hear that guy over there didn't pay his taxes? He needs to pay his taxes. I pay my taxes. Put him in a cage. He didn't pay his taxes. I'm going to vote for the guy that takes a little bit less out of my money. Oh, yeah, I'm a constitutional conservative, and there's no basis for a constitutional income tax. But it's the price we pay for a civilized society. Are you kidding me? This is maybe not attractive for conservatives to hear. The talking points of the Republican Party are so much easier to do on radio. I got to tell you, they're widely received. We compete against several stations that are just basically WGOP talking points. That's obviously a successful model. It's been decades in the making. But look at the results you're getting. I'm asking people to think a little bit deeper, think a little bit different. It kind of seems like that's what's called for right now. Maybe to reassess some of our long-held beliefs. Maybe realize that we've been led down the wrong path and we need to, you know, maybe stop and look and think and approach things from a different tact. You're going to reelect Roger Wicker. He knows that. This isn't his worst vote. He'll cast 20 more votes that you probably wouldn't like. By the time Roger Wicker's term is up in 5 years, there'll be another $10 trillion on the national debt. You'll still reelect him. He knows that. The establishment that puts him up and funds him knows that. It's about time you recognize it, too.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
I kind of feel like, you know, it's Friday. Maybe you'll forgive me by Monday. As long as I've gone ahead and stepped in it. Bye. I'm not defending Roger Wicker in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying this is not his worst vote. There's a million things you should be mad at establishment Republicans for. This is one of the least ones because at least it's based on some level of curbing Washington power. I know it's power you want to see exercised right now. There's got to be a better way. And the better way was the last 2 years that they whiffed. Be mad at him for the last 2 years, for sure. We're big talkers. We're big talkers. We're not real good in doing things. One of the constant refrains you hear from voters on essentially on both sides. But you know, I'm surrounded mostly by conservatives. I do a conservative show. I visit conservative sites. I see kind of what's in the mind. And I read so many comment sections because it gives me access to just hundreds and thousands of people's ideas. I scan through this stuff to kind of take a temperature of where everybody is. Here's the thing. In stories like what will be circulating and what will be said about Roger Wicker's vote and as mad as everybody is, people will say these things like, we need to hold our people accountable. We never hold them accountable. We elect them, we send them up there, they do what they want, and they're never accountable for what they do. That's true. It's very, very true. Very true. The problem I see right now, and as I said, as long as I've stepped in it, people aren't holding Donald Trump accountable because they're in love with him. They are in love with him. And I get it. I get it. I voted for the guy. I support him. But he's not delivering on everything. And this is the Ann Coulter, Donald Trump feud that's going on right now about the wall. I'm going to read a letter from the Union of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, a letter that they've written, the head guy of the union here. Before I do that, though, this was really fascinating to me. See, to me, there's so many things about politics that I find intriguing. It's not just, you know, this is not a show about constantly just talking about Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi. That's boring to me, and it's such a layup. Of course, they're terrible and wacky, and they're just horrible. I mean, I've got a clip of Nancy Pelosi later, but I'm interested in the psychology that goes into Americans. And I ran across the story. This is about the tax cuts. And as I said, I'm looking for people to tell me if they had big tax savings or if the tax thing didn't work. As we get to April 15th, I'm interested to hear your stories. Did the tax cuts make a meaningful change to you? Because as I said, when these things came out, and I laughed when they called it tax reform, because they gave you tax cuts and they changed some rates and stuff, but then they took deductions away. It was a rearranging deck chairs situation, but everybody tells me it's the greatest tax reform in the history of our country. It's going to, GDP didn't go over 3% last year. They're predicting it to be 0.2% for the first quarter right now. Could surprise. Maybe it'll come up a little bit. Maybe it'll be at 1%. But I'm interested to hear the stories. But here's what's fascinating about it. Taxation, when you get these proclamations from on high, they tell you, this year, slaves, we will only take 18% of your income. And we clap. Thank you. Thank you. Last year they took 22% of my money, but this year they're only going to take 18%. I love the Republicans. Thank you. It's pathetic to me. It's pathetic. Founding fathers would be ashamed of us. Only 1 in 5 U.S. taxpayers expect to pay less income tax this year as a result of the tax reform law passed in 2017 by Republicans. And I love tax cuts. Not deep enough for me. Zero. Zero is what they deserve. Zero of my dollars is what they deserve. Zero. They can take corporate taxes and tariffs and user fees and the fines from all these mega corporations. Have you ever noticed all these huge corporations paying multi-billion-dollar fines, yet it doesn't seem to put us in the black? I question whether those things are actually ever even paid, to be honest with you. But here's what's funny about this story about the tax cuts. Okay, again, it's a mathematical thing, right? Once you get your W-2s or your 1099s and your investment income and your once you get everything in and you plug it in, it becomes a mathematical thing, right? Not an ideological thing. Exact same income, exact same deductions, exact same scenario. If you're a Republican or a Democrat, theoretically, it spits out the exact same number, right? Yet no, not to people. This poll, let me see if I can get down here to this. March 6th to 11th. survey found about 21% of adults who would either file their taxes or plan to said the new tax plan that Congress recently passed would let them pay less this year. About 29% said they would pay more. 27% said there would be no impact. 24% said they weren't sure. The responses differed along party lines, with Republican taxpayers more likely than others to expect a tax benefit. According to the poll, about 33% of Republicans said they would pay less tax. 17% said they would pay more. Among Democrats, about 8% said they would pay less. About 45% said they would pay more. This is where we are. If you haven't done your taxes, then damn near everybody should be in the I don't know column. But instead, they answer this question politically. Do you expect to pay less? Well, yeah, I love Donald Trump. Donald Trump's my hero. He said I was going to pay less, so yes, I'm going to pay less. And Democrats, do you think you're going to pay less? I bet you I'm going to pay more because I hate Donald Trump, and I know he's out to screw me. We can't even look at math apolitically. But as I say, when I come back, I'm going to read this letter from ICE. I mean, I don't know we're holding Donald Trump accountable. And you know why we don't hold Donald Trump or Roger Wicker or any of them accountable? Because we don't understand what the hell is going on. Nobody knows if this tax thing was any good. The fact they got away with calling this some massive tax reform, please, 601-879-0002, please call me up if you filed your taxes on a postcard. Isn't that part of the deal now? They've been talking about it since at least 1992. We're going to simplify this tax code. You're going to be filing your taxes on a postcard. That's all you need to do. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not a tax slave, so a postcard doesn't even excite me. Closing the IRS is what excites me. But that makes me some kind of a radical. Conservatives have embraced the IRS. What are you going to do, Mike? I don't know. Try to find candidates who might want to abolish the IRS, not just tinker around with the rate. But see, now things are just said. This is the biggest tax reform bill that's ever been passed. It's going to help, you know, all the bluster, all of the PR, all of the hype, all of the propaganda. It doesn't seem like it's panning out. If people were taking home a ton more money, it seems like we really would have seen some true economic improvement last year. We still ended the year sub 3% in GDP. And we're starting this year off very, very, very weak. Where's all this extra money going that Americans are supposed to have in their pockets? See, I always get suspicious whenever I see we're going to double the standard deduction, but we're going to take away the mortgage. You know, that's going to make people not be able to write off their mortgages. See, it's give you with one hand and talk all about that. Here's what we're giving you. Oh, and by the way, you're going to lose a ton of your deductions. See, they just whisper that. They don't talk about that. It's tinkering. And this is why we don't hold people accountable, because we so want to have this savior that's going to come in and give us everything. It's no different, I got to tell you. Anybody taking a tax cut right now, anybody who's getting extra money back, I applaud you, but you need to put that into an account for your children, because we're just borrowing money to do it. You should give that to your children. It's a loan from them. If we're going to go further into debt for tax cuts, because we didn't do any spending cuts, it's just a loan from our kids, man. How gross is that? Anyway, I'm going to come back. I'm going to read a little of this letter from the Border ICE union guy. And I'm just curious, is there any accountability for what's going on at the border right now? Or is it always so easy? See, this is the game, man. Always point at the other side. It's always somebody else's fault. That's why there's no accountability.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, this kind of gets back to this Coulter Trump thing. Is there any accountability for Donald Trump that with what's going on at the border right now, or is it just too easy to say it's all the Democrats' fault? Because we're 2 years into office now, and he had a Republican Congress and a Republican Senate for 2 years. And here's the headline today. The National Immigration and Customs Enforcement Council says agents are being overwhelmed by mass, unchecked, illegal immigration in the United States. I'm going to read some from this letter. As you know, every day thousands of illegal aliens are being released into the United States by your administration. This is a letter from the ICE union head to Donald Trump. By your administration, catch and release is not just happening, it's in overdrive. Catch and release must continue as ICE doesn't have sufficient custody space to hold the massive number of family units illegally entering the United States every day. DHS resources on the border are overwhelmed. Political games in Washington, D.C. have rendered the United States completely incapable of controlling its southern border. Under the current circumstances, CPB officers and Border Patrol agents must apprehend hundreds to thousands of immigration violators every day and process the cases of those apprehended, to include issuing notices requiring an appearance before an immigration judge. Again, as there is no custody space, the hundreds of thousands apprehended each day by CPB must be released in charitable organizations that facilitate their travel to locations throughout the United States. In a nutshell, this is catch and release, and this is where the utter nonsense begins. This is a letter to Donald Trump from the head of the ICE union. Now, I understand Donald Trump's up against it. You know, he came out yesterday. This is one of the things about Trump does drive me nuts. Again, I voted for him. I support him. I want to see him succeed. He made a comment because of this Brexit deal in Britain. He said that's falling apart. It's real chaos over there. He said, well, Theresa May didn't take my advice. That's why it's going so poorly. Between the border wall, negotiating and trying to get a border wall done, between what's going on in North Korea and our trade war with China, I got to tell you, Trump has a little bit more to go before he proves that he is successful at negotiating some big things. Yet he didn't have any problem telling Theresa May that her problem was she didn't take his advice. I think that was poorly timed. I don't know if I'm the only person pointing that out. I can imagine the left might jump on that, because I'm going to talk about the North Korea thing next hour, too. They're trying to blow that thing up.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, and I am your host, Mike Madison, out there on my independent island, out there observing this insanity. Let me just ask one more thing on the border thing. Everybody's mad at Roger Wicker for his vote against the emergency declaration. Shouldn't you really be mad at all of them? Just reading that letter from the ICE head, talking about the fact that they're overwhelmed at the border right now and catch and release is in overdrive, is what he said. This is 2 years into Trump's presidency, and after 2 years of Republican control of the House and the Senate, can you tell me why they didn't just at least move to end catch and release? Now, maybe no wall, but maybe stop the fact that when they detain somebody for a few hours, get all their information, give them a subpoena, and then they put them on Greyhound buses and ship them into the interior of the country. They couldn't stop that. This wall's not being built, people. It's not going to happen. I mean, I'm not saying that because I don't want it to happen. I'm just telling you. I can see the T-roll. Jeez. It's just... We're going to go through all this for a national emergency on the border for $8 billion of a $75 billion project. It's taken 2 years to just get to this level. If Trump is successful. Imagine yesterday that everybody voted and they upheld and they gave him his emergency order on the border. I don't know when, if Steve Mnuchin, the former Goldman Sachs banker, who's our current Treasury Secretary, I don't know if he just walks over to Donald Trump with a check. Here's a check for $8 billion. If you would, hold it till Monday. You know, we're always running behind on money. We're pretty broke. But if you would, you can deposit that on Monday. So Trump gets the check. He puts it into the bank. On Monday, he's got $8 billion. Then what? Then they start looking for land. They start negotiating with homeowners or even executing eminent domain stuff. They start moving supplies to the border. When does that thing get built? This is the government doing this, okay? This is not you calling somebody to build a fence in your backyard and you need it done by next weekend and they say, we can make it happen, and they come and they build your fence. We're talking about a government project here. If he got his $8 billion, again, out of a $75 billion program, it's going to cost at least $75 billion to complete what was promised on the campaign trail. This is 10% of that. And I guarantee you that part of the project, the $8 billion if he got from his emergency declaration, would not be completed for what? 5 years? Maybe? This, whatever, I think it's supposed to be what, 74 miles? So in 5 years, we have 74 miles of this border. And by then, Trump may or may not still be in office, even if he is in 5 years. I mean, I'm kind of making these numbers up, but this is how the government works. I can't see a pathway to actually having a physical barrier being built. I don't see it happening. Now, I could be completely wrong. I would be happy to be wrong. But I do tend to be a bit of a realist in some aspects. I mean, I'm an ideologue. I want to see things change dramatically. For goodness sake, I'm a libertarian. We're as far away from the society that I want as we can possibly get. And not possibly. I guess when the socialists take over, it'll actually be worse. But we've got a lot of, people on both sides of the aisle don't pay any attention to the Constitution. People on both sides of the aisle are just tax slaves, just waiting for the orders from these 537 guys and gals, mental midgets in Washington, D.C., to tell them how much money they're going to confiscate for their checks. And the collective American people just go, duh, okay. So we're far away from it, but I got to tell you, I just have other questions. And again, it goes back to this idea of accountability. Is Ann Coulter right to try to hold Trump accountable to this, or is she a traitor because she dares to question? Because she dares to say something negative. If you either want accountability or you don't. And Trump's supposed to be the guy that gets things done. Now, I was talking earlier, he was critical of Theresa May because she's botching the Brexit negotiations. And he said yesterday, I believe it was, he said, Theresa May, it's a mess over there with this Brexit negotiations. I gave Theresa May some advice, but she wouldn't take my advice. Well, I got to tell you, Don, you've got a lot of balls in the air right now. We've got a China trade deal that is dragging on pretty much endlessly. This is after starting this a couple of years ago, saying trade wars are easy. And we're a couple of years into it, and this trade situation has not been resolved. American people are paying billions and billions of dollars of tariffs out of their pocket. You don't feel it. You don't notice it, but you are. Chinese government's not paying those tariffs. You are. We've got this border wall situation that needed to be negotiated through a Republican House and a Republican Senate, and nothing happened. And we've got the North Korean summit. That's going on, another big negotiation that appears to be falling apart right now. I don't know, it's time for Trump to come out and say, Theresa May wouldn't listen to me, the master negotiator. He's got a lot of plates spinning right now, and none of them have successfully been brought down safely. The North Koreans have said they may suspend talks with the USA. This is going to lead up into my False Flag Friday segment here, because this is what has just happened. Donald Trump, through great instincts and through good relations with Kim Jong-un He can even withstand the pressure from the left saying he's cozying up to dictators or whatever ridiculousness that is. Trump didn't pick the leader of North Korea. The leader of North Korea just is the leader of North Korea. Better be a dictator without nuclear weapons threatening his southern neighbor than a dictator with nuclear weapons. So Trump is doing the right thing. But John Bolton and Mike Pompeo, I believe, sabotaged these talks last time. Donald Trump said in his speeches, I want to get rid of the sanctions. And then he said, but we felt like if Donald Trump had been left alone, if Donald Trump was running the show, he would have gone over there to North Korea and he would have done some beginning level negotiations. Okay, you take apart this nuclear reactor site and we will take away these three sanctions. I'm just using that as a ballpark. But I'm telling you, I know enough of watching John Bolton's history. Our national security advisor, the war whore, the war criminal John Bolton, came to Trump's ear. He went in there and he started demanding more things towards the end of the negotiations. And he told Trump, you can't give an inch until they completely denuclearize. You're going to look weak, Mr. President. And they botched these things, and now North Korea is looking to pull out. Man, Trump has surrounded himself by some pretty, pretty, pretty bad people. I'm not sure what that's about. I'll take a call real quick. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
All right, you're on the air. What's going on?
I may have missed a discussion about this, but regarding the lack of action on the wall and other things in the first 2 years.
Yeah.
I was under the impression that the Koch brothers had a great deal of influence on what went on in the Republican Party, and they've kind of indicated that they are among the never-Trumpers.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm wondering how much interference that they're exercising to keep Trump's agenda from being fulfilled.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I think Paul Ryan was a big acolyte of the Koch brothers himself, and here's the interesting thing now. I'm a libertarian guy, and the Koch brothers are painted as libertarians, but I don't see it. They are corporatists, and they back a lot of things that are about big business advantage, not just free markets and those kinds of things, but big business advantage. And you may be right. I think I'm certainly they're just one of several special interests who are invested in open borders that are working behind the scenes.
What makes me think of them is the influx of the illegals is tremendous supply of low-wage workers.
Exactly.
And they run the biggest farm conglomerate in the world.
Yeah.
So do the math.
Right, right. You're exactly right. And those are the interests that have been driving this for forever. And the Republicans and Democrats are taking money from them, and the Democrats want the voters. I mean, it's not an accident we have open borders. It's not like they couldn't have done anything. It's just that what's aggravating to me on the Republican side is they went out and pretended they were going to do something for 30 years now. Knowing in the back of their minds they had no intention of doing anything. They just needed to give it enough lip service so that you and I would line up like well-behaved children and vote for them every 2, 4, 6 years. But they knew in their heart of hearts they never had any intention of doing this. Trump is forcing their hand, kind of making them show themselves for what they really are. But, special interests drive that policy.
Like Trump makes me like him even more.
What's that?
The fact that the brothers don't like Trump makes me like him even more.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Donald Trump, too. He's got all the right enemies, and that's one of the... I totally agree with you on that point, because I can get down on Donald Trump, and I'm not happy with him on several things, and I don't think he's delivering like everybody else does. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see it. But you're right. I mean, he's got so many enemies that when they come out against him, I say, well, you know... Thank goodness at least there's somebody upsetting the apple cart and, making some of these establishment people mad.
Well, I agree with you that he hasn't delivered on all that he said he would, but that I don't think that's from a lack of effort. I just don't think that he's getting the cooperation that he really needs.
Well, he's not, but, I just got to ask. He sold himself on certain things, and one of these is this art of the deal. You know, I talked about this yesterday. He made his living for many, many years on being this head of The Apprentice. When somebody sat down in that chair across from him after one of their little projects from one of their hour-long shows, he didn't take any excuses. He said, did you get it done or did you not get it done? And if they didn't get it done, he said, you're fired. So there's this air of accountability and no excuses and get things done. Trump said he came with a toolkit, which is this master negotiation. And that was, and I understand government is different than business. Trust me, I've pointed this out many times. But the bottom line is, you know, how much of a pass does he get? Because I believe his style has really hampered him. It's made it very difficult for anybody to cross the aisle, you know, on Capitol Hill to work with him and do anything, because he is just made as, you know, he's been very aggressive and mocking, and it's fun to watch, no doubt about it. But it just doesn't seem to be effective to me. So is there any accountability that maybe he's taken the wrong tact to get these things done?
Well, I think you're right on many points, and I hope you keep up the good work, and your show is one that should have a nationwide audience instead of just the good people of Mississippi.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thanks so much for the kind words. You can always share this show, and you can get it on podcast on iTunes or at themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. You can find that on the WYAB.com website. Hey, that's one of my favorite callers ever. All right, I got to take a quick break. I'll be right back. We're going to do this False Flag Friday stuff. There's some weirdness going on right now. The Syrian war is almost over. Do you know where your CIA is? Well, I'll tell you. Just a second. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
If you, I've said this often, if you watch, you know, the mainstream news here, you know, you just pay attention to American press, let me tell you, you're missing a whole world of information, and it's why we allow the things we allow in Washington, D.C. as far as foreign policy comes, because we buy the narratives. We take them hook, line, and sinker, and people don't know. I didn't see this story reported anywhere except this came out of some foreign press. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I missed this in domestic media here. Investigators from Spain's National Intelligence Center, the CNI, and the Spanish police have linked a February 22nd attack on the North Korean embassy in Madrid to the CIA, according to El País. This is a paper over there. Now listen to exactly what happened. On February 22nd at approximately 3 p.m., 10 masked men carrying fake weapons broke into the embassy, tied up 8 people, put bags over their heads, and proceeded to beat and interrogate them for 2 hours. One woman was able to escape through a second-floor window, and police were called after a neighbor heard the screaming. When officers arrived at the embassy, a man opened the door and told them that nothing was going on. Minutes later, two luxury vehicles sped out of the embassy, according to the report. The getaway cars belonging to the diplomatic mission were abandoned on a nearby street. According to the report, at least 2 of the 10 assailants have been identified and have connections to the Central Intelligence Agency. The CIA has denied any involvement. However, Spanish government sources say their response was, quote, unconvincing. This is the North Korean embassy in Spain. 10 masked gunmen, fake weapons, tied them up, beat them, and interrogated them. According to the report, the intended goal of the attack was to obtain information on former North Korean ambassador Kim Hyok Choi, who was expelled from Spain on September 19, 2017, after ongoing North Korean nuclear test by then-Spanish Foreign Minister Alphonse. I can't even pronounce the last name. How about that? See, this is what Americans are just blissfully ignorant of. These are the kinds of things that were done. The deep state is trying to sabotage this North Korea thing. Trump is right. They are wrong, but they are winning. North Korea Today saying that they may stop this. This is False Flag Friday segment. They are talking of, see, breathless headlines about the fact that the North Koreans are, gasp, evading the sanctions we've placed on them. Shows that they are doing trades around the country, arms trades, oil trades. They're doing all kinds of stuff. China is sending them stuff in violation of the sanctions. Do you know how bizarro Orwellian that is? We tell them we're sanctioning you, and they're supposed to just go, oh, okay, we promise we won't bring in any money, we won't trade with anybody until you say it's okay. Would we put up with that if the Chinese sanctioned us? If the Chinese ringed us around with warships or whatever they did to stop us from trading with the rest of the world, we couldn't sell our oil. We've got this booming oil industry here in the United States right now. We couldn't sell our oil. You think we'd just sit back and take it? No. But the media portrays this as the North Koreans somehow or need to be held account because they're violating the sanctions. That's like me going to my neighbor and saying, "You can't. I've decided I don't like you. You can't leave your house. You can't, I'm not going to allow any food or any electricity into your house until you start playing ball, doing things the way I want. You're going to start cutting my grass or whatever the hell it is. You know what I mean. You think my neighbor's just going to go, oh, okay, I didn't know you were sanctioning me. Sure, I'll cooperate in any way." Further, I was going to play this as a clip, but it's a little bit long. So I'll read you a little bit of the story. Again, this is False Flag Friday because I want people to understand the world is not as it appears. It certainly is not the way it's sold to the American people. The Russians didn't hack our elections. They didn't even hack the damn DNC. Yet, you would think by watching the media, and this is Fox News, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, it's all of them. Washington Post, New York Times, LA Times, everybody says it. But it's just not true. It's just not true. The other thing that's not true is this war on terror, this idea that we are out there fighting our existential enemy, ISIS, all the time. I've been having conversations with somebody the other day. It's just strange. It's coincidental that ISIS ended up with 2,200 American Humvees. It's just coincidental we kept dropping supplies in the middle of the desert, and ISIS was the first one to get to them. Golly gosh darn it, we were trying to get those to the rebels. It's just coincidental. You know, these things are not coincidental. We hire essentially radical jihadist groups in the Middle East, and we use them almost as mercenaries. We wanted to topple Assad, so we empowered ISIS. And then they come back here, and the American people are gullible enough to believe that what we're actually doing over there is fighting ISIS. ISIS ran an oil operation from Raqqa in Syria, where they took over an oil field into Turkey, selling oil to the president of Turkey, who was one of our allies, a NATO member. They were selling oil to his son for like 15 months, unmolested. Nobody paid any attention. They were making $1 billion a month doing that. I believe that was the figure. It wasn't noticed until the Russians came in. When Assad invited the Russians in, the Russians said, we're not letting this keep happening, because the Russians and the Assad regime were actually fighting ISIS. Back here, we're just told we were fighting ISIS. Now, I think Donald Trump came in and saw what was going on, and he said, oh, hell no. And he said, we are now fighting ISIS. He was less concerned with getting rid of Assad. And he got our troops engaged and maybe fighting ISIS, but that doesn't happen. So Trump makes these orders. The thing is are they being carried out? That's my question. Here's a story from southfront.org. They're an independent journalistic endeavor. Again, if you're only reading the mainstream American media, you're missing giant chunks of the story. You are essentially misinformed, uninformed, and propagandized to. The CIA is conspiring with ISIS commanders in northeastern Syria, supplying them with fake documents and then transferring them to Iraq, according to reports in Turkish pro-government media. Now, again, look, everything is suspect here. This could just be Turkish talking points. We're kind of at crossways with Turkey right now, one of our NATO allies. About 2,000 ISIS members were questioned in the areas of Kesra, Busiera, and Al-Amar, and Sawar, and Del Azor. My apologies to anybody who knows how these things are actually pronounced. Province, and at least 140 of them received fake documents. Some of the questioned terrorists were then moved to the camps of Al-Hal, Haska, and Rukban, which are controlled by U.S.-backed forces. The CIA also reportedly created a special facility near Abu Kashab with the same purpose. Israeli, French, and British special forces are reportedly involved. An interesting observation is that the media in the country, which in the previous years of war used to conspire with ISIS, allowing its foreign recruits to enter Syria and buying smuggled oil from the terrorists, this means Turkey, so this is the Turkish media, they used to... ISIS was on Turkey's side. ISIS was providing Turkey with oil. Turkey was happy to see ISIS in there wrecking the place in Syria. But this media outlet, it says, after an interesting observation is that the media of the country, which in previous years of war used to conspire with ISIS, allowing its foreign recruits to enter Syria and buying smuggled oil from the terrorists, has now become one of the most active exposers of the alleged U.S. ties with ISIS elements. And this is the way the world actually works, you see. And most Americans do not know this stuff. Many people who are listening to this right now say, oh, that is absolutely insane. Are you insane, Michael? There's no way our CIA is. Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, it's pretty well widely known that Al-Qaeda was funded by CIA and U.S. government when they were fighting the Soviets in Afghanistan. You think that was a one-off? No, these groups are funded and trained. There were no moderate rebels in Syria. There were radical jihadists. They called themselves moderate rebels so that we could give them weapons and money without it seeming like we were funding terrorism. Last little segment on this, on Venezuela, the blackouts. Now, Maduro, the leader of Venezuela right now, and look, I'm no fan of socialism. I'm a libertarian. It's an abhorrent system. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Maduro, he no bueno, okay? He's blaming the United States for the power outages. Now, he could be lying, but it does kind of seem like our MO. It's kind of one of those kinds of things that we do in stealth ways. We have, historically, a September 2010 memo by a U.S.-funded soft power organization that helped train Venezuelan coup leader Juan Guaido and his allies identifies the potential, again, this is a 2010 memo, identifies the potential collapse of the country's electrical sector as a watershed event that would likely have the impact of galvanizing public unrest in a way that no opposition group could ever hope to generate. It was authored by Sergio Popovic of the Center for Applied Nonviolent Action and Strategies, CANVAS. That's the name of the group. A Belgrade-based democracy promotion organization funded by the U.S. government that has trained thousands of U.S.-aligned group youth activists in countries where the West seeks regime change. See, there's a whole machine that does this. But we're told in the United States, oh, these are spontaneous uprisings of people who have been abused by their governments. Why? We are with these abused people. No, we've been training these revolutions. We train them, and then we let them loose in these countries to affect the regime change that we want to see happen. This group reportedly hosted Guaido and the key leaders of his Popular Will Party for a series of training sessions, fashioned them into a Generation 2007. In the 2010 memo, CANVAS's Popovic declared, quote, a key to Chavez, and again, this was back when Chavez was there, a key to Chavez's current weakness is the decline in the electricity sector. Popovic explicitly identified the Simon Bolivar hydroelectric plant as a friction point. This is again in 2010, emphasizing that, quote, water levels at the Guri Dam are dropping and Chavez has been unable to reduce consumption sufficiently to compensate for the deteriorating industry. Speculating on a grave possibility that some 70% of the country's electricity grid could go dark as soon as April of 2010, the CANVAS leader stated that, quote, an opposition group would be best served to take advantage of the situation and spin it against Chavez and towards their needs. Now, I don't know if I'm getting lost in the words here and trying to read this. This is a 2010 memo where Juan Guaido was trained. And it said, look, it looks like they may have some power problems. You could really use that to your advantage to galvanize support for you as the opposition. And strangely enough, flash forward to March 2019, and the scenario outlined by Popovic is playing out almost exactly as he had imagined. On March 7th, just days after Guaido's return from Colombia, where he participated in failed and demonstrably violent February 3rd attempt to ram a shipment of U.S. aid across the Venezuelan border, the Simon Bolivar hydroelectric plant experienced a major and still unexplained collapse. Isn't that convenient? Days later, electricity remains sporadic across the country. Meanwhile, Guaido has done everything he can to, quote, take advantage of the situation and spin it against Maduro, just as his allies were urged to do over 8 years before by this group, CANVAS. Now, here's where it also gets interesting. It's tied into a little bit of our deep state neocon warmongering war whores here in the U.S. At noon on March 7th, during a hearing on Venezuela at the Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee, Senator Marco Rubio, the famous neocon chicken hawk, explicitly called for the U.S. to stir, quote, widespread unrest, unquote, declaring that it needs to happen in order to achieve regime change. Here's a quote from Marco Rubio. This is on March 7th. Venezuela, this is at noon on March 7th. Quote, Venezuela is going to enter a period of suffering no nation in our hemisphere has confronted in modern history. Around 5 p.m., the Simon Bolivar hydroelectric plant experienced a total and still unexplained collapse. Residents of Caracas and throughout Venezuela were immediately plunged into darkness. At 5:18 p.m., okay, so Marco Rubio makes these comments early in the day. At 5 o'clock, this plant goes down. At 5:18 p.m., a clearly excited Rubio took to Twitter to announce the blackout and claim that, quote, backup generators have failed, unquote. It was unclear how Rubio had obtained such specific information so soon after the outage occurred. According to Jorge Rodriguez, the communications minister of Venezuela, local authorities did not know if backup generators had failed at the time of Rubio's tweet. Rubio knew within 18 minutes of the failure of this dam that backup generators weren't working. Wow, he is really plugged in. And not only did he know that generators weren't working just a mere 18 minutes after the power outage started, but he actually knew at noon that day that Venezuela is going to enter a period of suffering no nation in our hemisphere has confronted in modern history. And he called for widespread unrest that, quote, needs to happen. These things are made to happen when the time is right. And I warn you, this is the Ides of March. I did the story last week. Most major conflicts here in the United that we have been involved with around the world over the past 30, 40 years have all begun in March. March, the month, I guess, that is named after Mars, the god of war. We got some sick folks running the show, folks. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, I always try to end the weeks now. Instead of just on False Flag Friday, I try to lighten the mood a little bit with some real left-wing lunacy we can kind of laugh at on our way out for the week. I'm going to say one more thing about this Venezuela stuff that's so aggravating to me. Okay, Venezuela's is a failed state right now. Real big problems. If they were just collapsing because of socialism, which is always inevitable, socialism does not work, then maybe the people there would look at it and go, holy crap, we tried this socialism thing, it didn't work, and they erect something different. But do you know what happens when a country like the United States, like Mike Pompeo's bloated butt, gets up and constantly threatens them and sends out a tweet, no food, no water, now no power, soon no Maduro? Do you know what happens? Do you know what the Venezuelan people hear? Maduro goes out and says the U.S. is attacking us. Now, whether we are or not, and I suspect we are, we've sanctioned them. We're strangling them economically. All those people who might have turned on socialism are. It's easy for Maduro to now go out and say, look, our system's not the problem. It's that we're under attack by these foreign powers, by the United States. He can deflect away from the failures of socialism by pointing to us because we've weighed in with our loud mouth. So the people might normally realize socialism doesn't work and escape it. But instead, they're going to just blame us. So any hope Venezuela had of moving back to a free market capitalist democracy is probably going to be gone What do you think would happen here in the United States? You know, we got a lot of problems here in the U.S., right? I mean, I spend 2 hours a day, and the rest of the day is littered with other talk shows pointing out the problems that we face right now. But I got to tell you, if China said they were going to come in and fix our problems, we'd probably be like, no, that's all right. We're good. And then if China started putting sanctions on us and doing other things that were harming our economy, we would look a little bit less at the problems we have here and the people that are responsible for the problems we have here, and we'd all be united in our anger at China for threatening us. So our deep state not only is dishonest and disgusting and corrupt and just bloodthirsty, and most Americans don't know, we're the white-headed cowboy riding to the rescue of democracy. No, we're not. No, we are not. That's why we've got a 34% approval rating right now. In 1992, our approval rating around the world was 94%. Now it's 31%. And it's because we've been doing these kinds of actions for that long. Anyway, it's just disgusting. The people of Venezuela will probably wake up and throw socialism off of them and form some new kind of government that actually works for them. But they're going to be distracted by our attacks, thinking that we are the reason, the entire reason, that their economy is crumbling. This is how counterproductive what we're doing is. All right, I'm going to come back. We'll get into the craziness on the left. Stay with us. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Final segment of the show. I certainly didn't leave myself enough time to really adequately ridicule the left for the last week of what they've put in. Beto O'Rourke, Joe Biden. I'm going to start off with the Nancy Pelosi thing, but real quick, because I'm on the air while this New Zealand shooting is really kind of breaking, I'm looking at the headlines, but just not enough time to do a in-depth analysis of it and really see exactly what the narrative that's about to be shoved down our throat is. But we kind of know what's coming, don't we? This is going to be another gun control thing, but there was a very concerning one yesterday in that they've allowed the parents of the Sandy Hook shooting to sue over the AR-15. Like, this is backdoor gun control. Same as red flag laws, which also supported by Republicans, which is this: somebody says that you're insane and they just come take your guns. They're going to tax these things to death. Universal background checks for even private party transactions. You want to give your cousin a gun? Not until you check with Uncle Fed. They're going to tax ammunition, regulate this stuff out. They can't just go in. There's just not enough ability for them to go in and try to take our guns. So they're going to try every other trick in the book. Suing gun manufacturers. They're going to make guns so expensive that average Americans can't afford them. Then they're going to tax ammunition. I mean, there's just no number of things they're going to come at with the guns. And this New Zealand thing is just going to play right into that. And I tell you again, when you look at the Trump's emergency order, you just remember, you can say all you want to. Well, the Democrats are going to do it anyway, Mike. It doesn't matter. Trump might as well do this on the wall because they're going to abuse their power anyway. Yeah, they might. Probably will. But it's coming. And they're going to have one big thing to stand on. They're going to say, well, if Trump can do it, we can do it. And it's going to be pretty difficult to push back on that. Climate change and gun control, the big emergency orders that a President Biden, a President Sanders would immediately do. and we're going to get exactly what we've asked for. This was Nancy Pelosi. You want to talk about just insane. This woman, holy cow, she wants to lower the voting age.
Criticism from the ACLU about it in regards to the freedom of speech issue. And as far as 16-year-olds voting, where do you see that going into the future?
Well, I disagree with the ACLU on this. In terms of legislation, we couldn't be prouder than H.R. 1. This is about reducing the role of big, dark, special interest money in politics and empowering small donors. It's about ending voter suppression. It's about making redistricting fair. It's really a source of joy and hope to so many people in the country. I mean,
couldn't you say that about every bill that goes through Congress? Everything they do is a source of joy and hope for all of us, isn't it?
Personally, I'm not speaking for my caucus. I myself have always been for lowering the voting age to 16. I think it's really important to capture kids when they're in high school, when they're interested.
And that's the word that everybody really jumped on. That what word in this sentence really jumps out at you?
Myself have always been for lowering the voting age to 16. I think it's really important to capture.
It's really important to capture.
Kids when they're in high school, when they're interested in all of this, when they're learning about government, to be able to vote. That is not necessary. You know, in other words, some of the priorities in this bill are about transparency and openness and accessibility and the rest. That's a subject of debate. But my view is that I would welcome that. But I've been in that position for a long time.
16 years. We want to lower the voting age. Now, if you look back 100 years, where do you think the maturity level of people are? I would say the average 18-year-old in 1900 was far more mature, more informed, paid more attention to things than what, the average 30 or 35-year-old now? I think we should be raising the voting age. I have my own, if I could wave a magic wand, I have my own opinions on voting. And they would not involve making it easier. Not one of them would involve making it any easier. I might be for things like IQ test. I don't know where the line should be drawn, but I got to tell you, I'm 16 years old. Holy cow, what a disaster that would be. This was Beto O'Rourke.
He's good. Question, mate.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, your thoughts on the new Green Deal?
Question is on the Green New Deal, and by extension, if you don't mind, I'll take the spirit of the question. We face catastrophe and crisis on this planet, even if we were to stop emitting carbon today, right now,
we're all gonna die.
We know that the storms that we saw in Texas, Harvey, which dumped the landfall record amount of rain on the United States of America, as long as we've been keeping records, that claimed the lives of too many of our fellow Americans, flooded people literally out of their homes and businesses. Storms like Harvey are only going to become more frequent and more severe and more devastating, and ultimately they'll compromise the ability to live in a city like Houston, Texas. The droughts that we experienced in the panhandle of Texas, 5 years straight, and then we got a little bit of rain, and then we went back.
That's what it is. That drought, it was climate change, all that drought. Then we got a little bit of rain. Hey, Beto, you know what happens? Sometimes it's dry and sometimes it rains. That's called weather, not climate. That's just the weather. And he came out and did his bizarro thing. I think the guy's on crystal meth. I'm not a drug expert. I can't really tell the effects of what drugs or what. But I've been looking at the guy. He's hopped up on something. He's a bundle of energy. There's no doubt about that. Now, what was kind of funny to me, as he did his Vanity Fair thing, where he said he was born to do this, born to run, and in another instance of the left eating their own, left-wing activist and liberal journalist were quick to mock former Representative Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke on Wednesday evening after he told Vanity Fair that he was born to run for president. O'Rourke told Vanity Fair, "You can probably tell I want to run. I do. I think I'd be good at it. I want to be in it," O'Rourke said. "Man, I'm just born to be in it and want to do everything I humanly can for this country at this moment." Now, I don't have time. I'm running out of time, but I would love to read the left-wing tweets that came out after he put that thing out. Boy, the left piled on him, told it, you know, his Messiah-esque. They go into just all kinds of things, just deriding him for this bizarre announcement of his rollout of his campaign. Anyway, not enough time for lunacy on the left. I should have started earlier. That's all the time I got today. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.